Welcome to the Bubbles Brunchcast with your hosts, Aaron and Kayla.
Hello, hello. Thank you for joining us today here on Bubbles Brunchcast. I'm your host, Aaron Ambergy.
And Kayla Maynard.
And today we have a very special guest, a repeat guest, actually. And yay, it's Andy Gildes from Mountain Mama Investigations. Is that right? Did I get the name? Okay. Just making sure. And you were on a previous episode. I'm trying to... Episode 27. So, from about this time last year, when we were doing all our spooky stuff.
Spooky season!
My favorite. I love spooky season. And last night, we were... Oh, first of all, happy 1989 Taylor's version, for those of you who celebrate. Don't know if anybody on this call does, but that's okay. No. Kayla's shaking her head.
Take a little sippy sip.
That's okay. That's fine. But last night, Kayla and Andy and her and Andy's husband DJ and I went, and Kayla's friend Krista went to the Ross Opera House in Cynthiana, Kentucky, because it is very haunted. Is that correct, Andy?
I would say 100%.
100%. Okay. And can you give us maybe a history of the Ross Opera House? Because we, Kayla and I, went in blind. We wanted a clean slate.
So yeah, genuine experience.
Yep. And that's definitely a great method to do, especially if you want to make sure that there isn't any kind of bias in the investigation. And then we can go back through the history, like you all will get to learn now, you know, possibly some of the experiences or what happened around them. So Ross has been around a really long time. And I think initially, Cynthiana and the street, the area that it was on, was a part of the trail of John Hunt Morgan. I mean, let's put him with Christopher Columbus. We don't like him.
Mm.
And he was just not a good guy. Yes, exactly. But for some reason, they still named a bridge after him that goes into Cynthiana. And he burnt down all of Main Street.
Oh, wow.
That's what the guy said last night. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's the oldest continuous running theater in Kentucky, Ross Opera House is. So the way that the building is constructed and the parts that we were in is Aeolian Music Hall, or it was Aeolian Hall Music Association. It was established in like 1871. And then it got renamed in 1873 when it was bought by Herman Ross.
Mm.
And that's when they renamed it to Ross Opera House, and him and his son Carl started running it. So the part that we were in with the theater was actually the new part. There used to only be that Aeolian Music Hall, the old part. So that's why that big hallway is there connecting everything.
Okay.
And yeah, so in 1941, they made it a silent movie house, and they started showing some movies and things in there as well. And Herman, I believe, yeah, so he actually came over from Germany to New York City and then made his way to Cynthiana at some point. And his son Carl was the manager, but the articles didn't like to specify that at the time. You got to think in the time period we were in the 1800s, he suffered with a lot of depression.
Aww.
And he had children. Which is significant, especially to our investigation last night. I'd always been told that there were children spirits in there. And his children used to play while he would work.
Oh.
So, yeah, they would play actually in the stage area. So, in the theater.
Mm-hmm.
And, but, unfortunately, Carl did commit suicide eventually. And it was not at the property, though. And there was talk of it around, like, in the newspaper and stuff whenever he passed. They just did not want to really specify why he passed.
Sure.
So, it also housed, I mean, some different significant kind of things going on. So, like, in 1910, there was a birthday party for a Dr. Rob Morris. He was the founder of the Order of the Eastern Star, which is the branch of the Masons. And whenever you get Masons involved, there's some weird things going on. And it's not a more of what we think of it today whenever people join Masons. I'm talking like trying to find immortality, Mason, when you're higher up in it.
Oh.
Yeah. So,
like the Freemasons?
Okay. Yeah. So, it's like kind of like whenever people... Lord, don't come after me, Masons. But anyhow, whenever you go enjoy the Masons now, it's a very watered down version compared to the kind of esoteric and magical workings that they actually do. So there is a lot of more magical practices than what's known than what you do now.
It's a very like secret, closed off kind of thing.
It's very different, and a lot of really interesting things going on, and maybe eventually they'll find the spell for immortality in Egypt as they keep digging. And
hopefully that's all they find.
I hope so, because it's pretty big ritual. You're getting into some odd stuff, maybe not as odd as Aleister Crowley, who did some weird magical ways. But yeah.
No.
So,
don't dig in Egypt too far, guys, because we have enough problems in the world without playing Jumanji.
Every time they open up something or unearth something, I'm like, put it back!
Put it back!
That's what I was going to say. If you find it, just leave it there. It's probably meant to be there.
Yeah.
Cover it back up a little bit, pat it down, like a kitty. Walk away. Yeah.
It's like the protection boxes in my yard. If we ever sell this property and somebody decides to dig, they're going to be like, she's really bad at arts and crafts. No, that's what they would find out if they did archaeological dig in my property. It was also used for a lot of children's events. There was even like beauty pageants where you could win a diamond ring.
Aww.
And stuff like that they would do in there. In Aeolian is actually where that took place.
Mm.
And the darker history a bit of the property that I was telling you all that hasn't been noticed by the owners as much is that there was this negative energy. It was human from what the understanding is. But it was just this grouchy old guy, and he was mad. And he probably had every right to be, because that space, whenever you're going into Ross, next to it, close to it, used to be an attorney's office. And I'm talking this happened actually back in the 90s in the newspaper articles. This isn't too long ago.
Mm-hmm.
So the attorney was an alcoholic, and he was estranged from his wife, and he used to sleep in that office. But there was a guy that came to him there in Cynthiana who wanted help. He was into small-time crime, you know, probably, I don't know if it was drug related, I won't say for sure. But he goes in and he asks him for help, and the attorney says no, and the guy pulls out a gun and takes his own life in front of the attorney.
Oh my God.
So what the attorney does instead of calling someone for help is he takes the body out on the street, goes back in his attorney's office, and passes out.
Oh, wow.
So that was affecting the property for quite a few years, but that attorney recently passed in the last few years, and then that presence is no longer being found in the Opera House anymore, and it was believed to be the person who took their own life. So it's like, he was done after that, like he could get some closure. So, yeah, so there's a lot of different things going on there. It's been used for decades and decades. It's seen think of it from the 1800s up until today. It's seen every kind of music and theater production that you could think of. It was used and rented out for birthdays. Think of it like a community center in a lot of ways and stuff, too. But it was innovative for the time, like the crying room that I showed you. And I'll never forget the first time I went in there. Roger, one of the owners, told me, said, this is where you can go if you get too scared. And I was like, really? What is a crying room? But it was for mothers to be able to go in there, continue to watch the movie. They had a speaker in there, and then you wouldn't hear the baby crying.
Aww.
So it was really neat for the time period.
And probably good for breastfeeding, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. 100%.
That's really innovative for the time period.
Yeah, I agree. Besides that, the only other like real desk that we know of is there was someone trying out a new type of electrical device in there, I think, at one point, and they did get electrocuted.
Oh, dear.
So, back in the day. But see, that's the weirdest thing about Roth, is that there are no huge significant deaths taking within this building, okay? And a lot of times whenever you have some of the experiences that you do in these locations, it's because there's been some kind of tragedy tied to the property in some way. Now, it could be the land itself with John Hunt Morgan and his raiders coming through and doing who knows what, setting the street on fire. That's going to impact the land. So you might have things that occur in there that have nothing to do with the Opera House itself, but that do with the actual land. And then we also got to think about for the time period as well, you had a segregated section. So mm-hmm. there was a lot of oppression that was happening. At that time where they had to sit up, you know, in a nosebleed section to watch the show.
Mm-hmm.
So we usually get a lot of activity in there as well. Yes, we've experienced that ourselves. So the first time that we investigated Roz, one of our investigators was doing the Estes method that Kayla did for us. So you're going to put on noise-canceling headphones. We use Big First. They're for drumming sessions because you really need that focus. My dad was a sound engineer, so mm-hmm. they have to be able to hear themselves really well, but it cancels out everything you hear around you. You plug that into a spirit box, which scans multiple radio stations. The idea is that a spirit can pick out certain words or they can speak through the white noise. And then you deprive the senses even further to take out some bias of the questions being asked by people outside. You put that eye mask on, and that basically makes you like a conduit. So think about it, if you are less open with your psychic abilities, if we put you in that state, then we have just amplified your psychic abilities. With my belief that everyone is psychic, some are just more open than others, this makes you a little more psychic for an experiment, basically. And then they can talk through you as a conduit at that mm-hmm. point. So he was doing that testing, and that's when something actually blew in his face from that section.
And that's why screamed.
Well, he jumped. I jumped. The video's on TikTok. It's a lot of fun. So we went back, and we decided to ask, because they're very playful at times, too, these spirits, and they're really funny at times. We've danced with them. I mean, they like music, you know, that kind of thing as well. And when we asked them who blew in Sean's face, that's when they told us Jesus did. And we were like, so that's why we have the TikTok. It was like, okay, well, Jesus takes breath of heaven literally, I guess, and blew in Sean's face. So it was a really weird experience on that one. We've had quite a few things. They are the most active spirits I've ever seen in my life. If you're upstairs, they're downstairs. You go downstairs, they're upstairs. You're going to get a workout. If you want some cardio while you're investigating, it's yeah. the place to go. But yeah, so, I mean, the building has been used by the community for many years. Like I said, Roger, the owner, worked there when he was younger. So it's been a really important piece to Cynthiana itself. And this was a unique way for some of the members of the community to come together to purchase this place to keep the history alive. And they're doing it in an innovative way. So that's a really neat way of seeing historical preservation in play and keeping up with current times.
I love that. So can you explain kind of some of the equipment you have? I'm not entirely familiar with it, so I'm going to assume that most people aren't entirely yeah, familiar sure. with the spiritual equipment, yeah. like your spirit box, the EMF readers, stuff mm-hmm. like that.
That would not stop yeah. the whole night.
Right, the EMF, and enough to where I thought my EMF device was broke. I was so mad. I was like, I just bought this new one, too. And I didn't know it was just somebody standing near it. So we have a variety of equipment. I will always tell people, if you are interested in investigating, it actually don't like take much. It doesn't cost much, but a digital recorder is really important for you to listen back to EVP. And that is just you asking questions, giving pauses of silence in between, because we don't know how long it takes for spirit communication to come through from our time versus their time. There's a lot we don't know about that dimension, that quantum physics is still trying to figure out. And then also the idea is they no longer have a body, so they may not have vocal cords. So, you know, what are they having to do in order to get that sound to come through, and how do they make it sound like their voice still? But it happens, and I just sent you all a good copy of how that happened.
Mm-hmm.
So from our investigation last night.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So they will answer a lot of questions in that way. But then you also have K2 meters or electromagnetic field meters. Those are good to actually just have in your house because you don't want too much EMF in your house. It can cause the phenomena of thinking that you have a haunting when really it's just affecting it, like standing too close to the microwave.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll cause nausea and headaches and hallucinations if it's too high even. So it's one of the things we have to rule out in investigation. Old electric in houses can do that as well. And Wi-Fi extenders, I have found I had to move away from my bed. A lot of different devices. So it's good to check out. But the idea is that everything is made of energy. We know that from physics. And if there is a shift in energy, then that is when that device lights up. And that can indicate that a presence is actually coming closer to us. So those are very handy to have in it. Or you can do something as simple as the flashlights, like what we did.
Mm-hmm.
It's called the flashlight test, where you unscrew them a bit and make it to where it just takes a little bit of energy to kind of spark them to come on. Some other devices that we use, maybe a little more advanced, is the spirit box. We have a couple versions of that where it scans all the radio frequencies for us.
And yours also does the temperature too, doesn't it?
Yes. It's called a SB11, spirit box 11. And it will have, the first time it went off, I didn't know it had that and it scared me so bad.
No.
It will indicate if the temperature is rising or falling. Because a lot of times when we think of spirits, we think of cold spots, but hot spots also happen too.
Fluctuations of any kind.
So it will indicate that as well. And then what we finally got connected together after I disassembled it was what we call it dead radio.
Mm-hmm.
And it's where you connect some pieces from guitar electronics into a speaker along with a spirit box. And it's just to take out some of the white noise and give more of just the word coming through. And then we also use a variety of different kinds of cameras or motion activated sensors, REM pods. Those are the devices with the antennas that if something changes in the electromagnetic field or stands close to it, that it causes a loud sound to go off and scare everyone, probably including the spirit and us.
Yeah, it went off like one time last night. We were like, what? Yeah.
You know,
what was that noise?
That's the first time that one of those devices has actually went off for us. So I'm starting to wonder if maybe we just picked a really good time to go to Ross. I had never tested being there on a full moon.
Mm.
And yeah. So right now there's just a lot of things going on where you would say the veil is thin. We have Halloween coming up. We know that that is a thinning of the veil between worlds. We have full moon. That's where the term lunatic comes from. That's why there's more people in the ER on a full moon.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think tonight is actually a lunar eclipse as well. So there's a lot of weird, astrology type things happening too.
And
go ahead.
I was just going to say Dia de los Muertos is coming up, the Day of the Dead.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I just booked whatever they had available. This was the only night they still had available, so that's super great.
That's lucky.
And also,
we got lucky.
They're mm-hmm. doing the ghost walks beforehand, so and you said that kind of stirs things up as well.
Absolutely. You're going into a place with so many spirits, so many ghosts, whatever you choose to call it, and there are people in there talking all about ghosts for hours, you know, doing tours of it too.
Yeah.
But if you think of it, because you could think, people could go both ways and be like, wow, could that be disrespectful? Well, if I was a spirit in Ross, I'd be like, yeah, talk me up, Roger. That's right. You know, and I'm still here. And so they always do it out of a very loving way. They care very much about these spirits just as much as they do as the people coming to visit them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's what's important because Ross is teaching us and what I've done in a lot of other historical investigations is that history doesn't have to die when just the person does. Because if there are some historical figures out there that we can still go and ask questions to, then we have an opportunity to learn from their mistakes, learn what went wrong, and see if we can make it better. So,
started with the opening statement, then we turned all the lights off, so that was just an extra level of spooky for me, because I'm like, I'm going to fall and hurt somebody, and it's probably not going to be just me.
Oh, yeah, like turning off the lights. You know, that's a really good point, too, because the reason we actually turned those off is it research is going both ways with that. Lights could help during paranormal investigation with the idea that spirits could draw energy from them, or the other research says that it actually hurts them and that they can actually manifest more without having light. So that's why we do both.
That's pretty fun. I could see both of those. We did a tour too. The basement has the creakiest stairs I've seen.
Yeah, the basement is weird. So whenever you go down in there, it's not huge or anything, but the museum there, I believe it's Harrison County, Cynthiana is, yeah. So the Cynthiana Museum did confirm that there are tunnels that run underneath the main street, and that some of those tunnels are believed to go to Ross as well.
Oh, wow.
We don't really know what they were for. One person... from Cynthiana indicated like that they were bootlegging, but that's not confirmed.
Prohibition,
so we don't know.
And stuff.
But we do know that they have not been able to have the manpower or funds to open those to explore them. So I asked them if they ever do to call me.
That's cool. That would be cool, but also scary. I'm claustrophobic. I don't know if I could.
That's why my face was going, that sounds fun, but also like, no, because I would be terrified. Yeah. I would want to be the first person in there, at least.
No, it would be super to know history-wise, and then on the other side, you don't know what you're going to open up to.
That's true, and then there could be stuff down in there, like if it was during Prohibition, there could have been stuff left in the tunnels, which I'm sure they could see. With technology, but again, if there's not the funds and stuff, they can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
But, so, we did not go down into the basement, we got to the steps, and then one of them made a weird noise, and we were like, maybe not. Maybe not. And then we went back upstairs. Once we turned the lights off and everything, we sat in the actual, like, seating area, I guess. Mm-hmm. With the... Hopefully I'm going to say the right one. The EMF.
Mm-hmm.
They were going crazy the entire time. But like you said...
Yes.
There was apparently something there.
Yes. Yeah. This kind of makes sense, especially so with the EVP that we caught. Which is definitely, I mean, hands down, I think anybody would listen to it and say that it was a child. It does sound like a little, a little boy.
Mm-hmm.
And that would make sense with Carl's children playing in there so often. And a lot of other people have actually complained, even when they go to watch a movie there, saying, why are all these kids playing down at the end of the stage? They'll go complain to the owner, and the owner says, there's no children here. Ooh. You know, so that can happen quite a bit down there. And so that was really neat, because I'd never had any kind of activity that I know of, that is, of a child. We usually do take them toys and things like that to try to trigger or give them something to want to interact with. But the way that the child is actually saying Aeolian, it almost sounds like a question. Like they're asking, like, is that where we're going? Or, or do you mean Aeolian? You know, that's the way that it kind of sounds. So, and I believe one of our other investigators may have found possibly a child speaking again in one of the other EVPs. So I'll keep you all updated.
Ooh, that's nice.
She was reviewing for us a moment ago, so.
That is neat.
That is pretty cool. So we were down there. You played music. And you used the EMF to kind of, we had two of them set up. And you're like, if you touch this one, you like the song. If you touch the other one, you don't. And it was pretty consistently upbeat songs that they were kind of okay with.
Yeah, they didn't like the bummer music.
So, no.
That tracks with a child, at least, in my thought.
Yeah.
I agree. Not a Rosemary Clooney fan, whoever was there. not a huge Elvis fan for whoever was there. But they did like a lot of the big band swing, like that kind of style of music. So, yeah, that does make sense. It's more playful. It's more fun.
Mm-hmm.
And using the two different EMF devices The reason that I wanted to go about it that way too is just to show the level of intelligence. I don't really mean that though in an actual IQ kind of way. I mean it as like how pronounced they are in their abilities as a spirit of consciously knowing that they are there.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like we got a good indication of that, because if they are able to go between the two devices and say yes on this one, no on that one, then you have something pretty well adapted to be able to connect just as if they were standing there in front of you.
That's so neat. I'm just fascinated by everything we did. We were there so late. I'm so tired.
Yes. Yeah.
My brain is still recovering. I have a headache and everything, because I asked my sister this morning. I was like, remember when we used to do all-nighters? That's not happening anymore.
I can barely do an all-dayer.
Right? I need a nap. I told Steven not to let me nap today, because I was like, then I won't sleep tonight, and then work Monday is going to suck.
And then round and round it goes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Oh my god, more glitter. Ah! Anyway. When we went upstairs, you had your own setup with the pendulum, if you want to explain that one.
Yeah, so I'm trying to incorporate a little more of some metaphysical ideas whenever it comes to investigation. So, with these electronics, like I was telling you all last night, it's debatable at times, right? There's always going to be an argument of, do these devices actually work? Are they, going to be credible whenever it comes to a research method? So, if we give them something like what I set up with a pendulum that was on a holder, a tripod of sorts, so that way we're taking out the human touch of it, mm-hmm. like you would have with a Ouija board touching a planchette. Let's take out that element so we can say that a human wasn't touching it to alter it in some way. I'm looking for some ways to be able to incorporate that into the investigation, so that way it's a little more of a, what I would consider, solid proof that there is something there. If it starts spinning something around, moving things, which we know in cases we have that, we have poltergeist activity, but it would be neat to be able to see how it compares to the spirit box activity that's happening at the same time.
We didn't really get much from the pendulum, though.
No, not a whole lot on that one. I think that, well, they have a lot of groups that are coming in there
mm-hmm.
and using these kinds of devices. So it may actually take me a few trips to work with them to be able to do that and maybe explain a little more on what a pendulum is. It's just like whenever I go into a place and I get a little bit of response, sometimes... In some of those places, nobody's ever been talked to before, so it takes them a bit to warm up to you. It can take a few investigations. This place, I mean, they're veterans. They know what they're doing.
Yeah.
But they know what they're doing with the stuff they've seen before, so new stuff may take them a little bit.
I completely agree with that as well. And they may just like, if it's a child, they might just like making stuff flash and light up. Like, oh, they think I'm really cool.
That happened a lot when we went upstairs into Alien.
Mm-hmm.
They did not stop the entire time. And we removed the candles from the table. We removed our phones. We removed ourselves mm-hmm. from the table.
Yeah, we
anything that could set it off.
Yeah.
Yep. And Aeolian's a weird spot. Like I said, sometimes after a period of time, we will ask them, do you want us to leave? And when they tell us yes, then that's when we end our sessions for the night in that part.
Yeah. I don't need to be told twice to leave by a ghost.
No.
We did that before we did my Estes session, because you were like, wait a minute, let's make sure first before we put the headphones on her and like they yell at her.
Yes, I'm very, very serious about that too, because the entity that I have experienced most in Aeolian Hall is, I know that we did have some masculine voice coming through, but it is a feminine presence in there, and she is more sad. And I'm not really sure. I've been trying to investigate that for the past few years to understand a little more about her story. I do think, just based off of our investigation and some of the others' teams, that it's maybe someone named Loretta or Lottie. She may have went by that.
Mm-hmm.
And there is reports of a lady. I think it's like a lady in white sometimes up at the balcony, kind of near that segregated section, that area that overlooks. So there are some who have claimed to seen like a full body apparition, and a lady in white is usually connected to some kind of tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
But we're starting to find that there is more than just the Lady of White. There are blue ladies. There are red ladies. There are, you know, so it's starting to wonder.
Scary.
Yeah, red lady. The color. Yeah, right. So we're starting to wonder if possibly the colors symbolize something to do with the tragedy or experience as to why they're there.
Yeah. That makes sense. So Kayla picked up a lot during her Estes session. I didn't pick up but like two words and some FM stations.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, Krista said that you guys were asking questions during mine, and I know when you first, before we started mine, you were like, we're going to tap you out, so you might get a little scared, but I tapped myself out.
Yeah.
There's that stupid glitter again. Because I could hear white noise, and then, like, breathing in the white noise, which sounds weird.
You're like, nope.
I was like, no, I'm done. But she said you guys were asking questions, mm-hmm. and I didn't hear any of your questions. I didn't hear anything. And I did pick up on like words that I can't remember, but she couldn't remember the questions you guys asked or anything, so I was like, oh, well, okay.
Yeah, no, I feel like the way that, so we usually, I hate to even reference it in this way, it's kind of like fishing. You got to see if maybe you're actually interacting with the spirit there, because it is a radio station. It is, mm-hmm. we'll pick up random stuff, but mm-hmm. say for instance I am in Roth Opera House, I connect somebody up for Estes, and then they say Opera House. Yeah, bingo, we're pretty well. You know, what's the chances at that point that yeah. a radio station is going to say Opera House inside of an opera house?
Right.
So, same especially thing
at 2 a.m.
Yes, exactly. So, some of the questions that we were asking with you is about name. You, like you indicated that the spirit was local,
mm-hmm.
you know, maybe local to the area. They did mention Lexington.
They did, yes.
And that is interesting for a couple of ways, not just because Lexington is so close, but, you know, John Hunt Morgan was the Lexington Raiders. Like, that was a part of that as well.
Mm.
So, you know, I felt like that went in well. And even though you didn't get a lot, Aaron, on yours, whenever DJ said you can draw from my energy, which he,
so
I mean, you have to really feel comfortable with spirits to be able to offer that. Like, here, you can use some of mine so that way you can communicate.
Yeah. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you immediately said energy after that. So that was also something still mm-hmm. coming through, knowing what we were talking about. But I felt like at that point they were probably pretty depleted. They were probably pretty worn out after the ghost tours and then us.
I could imagine. So you yeah. said that the spirits liked us. Can you touch on that maybe a little bit?
Yeah, I feel like they definitely liked you too, or they must have really enjoyed your energy. I can assume that they can feel ours just like we can feel theirs.
Mm-hmm.
And because they were responsive from the get-go. Sometimes I will open, tell them, hey, it's your girl again, I'm back. And then mm-hmm. from there, you know, it might take me a little bit to get them to start interacting. They are starting to interact a little more quickly whenever we come. We hope that they're enjoying us just as much as we are them. And, but yeah, it was immediately to where I thought my device was actually broke, my EMF meter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And,
I remember that.
You know, it's new with new batteries. And I was like, what is going on? And it was just because they were waiting. They were standing there yeah. waiting on us just to turn stuff on. So,
it was yeah. on as soon as, like, I was walking down the aisle and Krista was too. We each had one in our hands and they were both already at two.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. So the property itself, you know, the owner and I have talked a lot and worked together. And he said that some people believe, though, that Roth is a little more than just spirits of the past. That it may actually be a area which I would love to look at the ley lines of, which is just when properties are on certain lines that align with big monuments like the pyramids of Giza mm-hmm. or something like that. That's known to sometimes cause more activity, but that some believe that there is access to more in Roth than just spirits, maybe other dimensions, extraterrestrials and things in that way as well.
That's really neat.
Yeah.
And who would have thought, like, an opera house in tiny little Cynthiana, Kentucky
mm-hmm.
would be such yeah. a, like, a hot spot for paranormal activity.
Dude, Kentucky's weird. And I don't think that people know just how weird it really is.
I mean,
times.
Yeah, she's not wrong.
besides Eastern Kentucky, giving credit to Eastern Kentucky right now, you all have known about the haints that are out there. You've known about them for a long time. You've been painting those porches paint blue. You've been putting newspapers on the wall. You've been dealing with fairies. You know it. You know it. But whenever you start getting more towards central Kentucky, it's like a little bit of that is lost.
Sure.
And Kentucky runs on the 37th parallel, going along with those ley lines and lines of significance again. 37th parallel is known for increased hauntings, paranormal activity, extraterrestrials, you name it, abduction by, you know, with extraterrestrials and things. But also, we are laying on top of limestone and quartz, which are known to be a part of something called stone tape theory. And the idea is that certain rocks and minerals can actually contain and record memories of the past, almost like a projector, and play those back to us.
Oh, that's
so neat.
Oh,
just from a geographical standpoint, that I would be more shocked if people weren't having haunting situations or weird things happening. So yeah,
that's so cool. I didn't know that. And last year when we went ghost hunting in the Native American cemetery, is that right? Am I remembering right?
Yeah, it's near the reservoir over in Berea. Unfortunately, they decided that they wanted to have a reservoir, so they just kind of chucked some bodies over and did that. Now, some of those bodies found out may actually still be in that reservoir.
Oh.
Yeah, so that's why those graves don't make sense as to how they're aligned.
Sure. So, we put, we made an offering. We didn't of like tobacco.
Yes.
We didn't do that this time. Can you explain what's going on?
Yeah. So with the opera house, the spirits that are a little more dominant there, we could probably go back a little bit further, because in most of the Kentucky, we're going to find some kind of connection to Native American ancestry and some kind of ground in that way. And what we do whenever we know that for sure, you know, that there were Native Americans on this land, is we will leave an offering. And that'll usually be something like tobacco, cornmeal, a mix of certain kind of herbs and things like that, and to pay our respects. Or coffee even is a good one too. But we'll pay our respects in some way of thanking them for the sacrifices that they made in order for us to be able to be here and to live in a bit more harmony. So especially with Native American areas and spirits, you always want to do that, because it's not going to go good for you if you don't.
Gotcha. Okay. I mean, we as white people have taken enough from them.
I completely
also
agree
accurate.
With that. Yeah. So that's why, you know, with my ancestry being that of Cherokee out of Chota, Tennessee. That's why I will use Cherokee usually to speak to them in some way.
Okay.
And to communicate in that language. Because a lot of times the idea and hope is that they would know enough of different people's language or different tribes' language. Or they say if the intention is pure in the paranormal, that it doesn't matter what language you speak, that you can still communicate.
Oh, that's neat.
So that's pretty cool.
That is neat. I never thought about, like, if you went to France, French ghosts.
Right. Like, right.
Oh, no.
I don't speak French. So.
Yeah, they might respond better if you could do it in that way, but it doesn't mean that they won't respond at all. And, yeah, so I was just thankful to take you all to a location that didn't have a Black Panther, so you're welcome.
Thank you.
We appreciate that, actually. Yeah. I've never thought about that. I literally have been watching so many YouTube videos lately of, like, the overnight guys who go to here, there, everywhere. And, like, they went to... And none of them spoke.
Yeah, you know, and I'm not saying you have to do this.
No,
this might just be, like...
My brain break. Just like, no. Oh, yeah. What? Huh? How did they do that?
What? It might be a personal preference on my part, but I feel like it's going to show a bit more respect, and that I truly care, that I've done my research. And there are certain investigations where we will go and blind ourselves, right? We don't want to have anything that's kind of influencing us on what's happening. But most times I have a case file that's very thick where I've done my research on it, And I want to be able to respect you even more and show you that I am truly here out of love and out of kindness and out of interest. And so if I was maybe going to Europe or something, I may learn just enough to at least try.
Sure.
You know, to say it. And we've actually had that paid back to us by the Native Americans, because after speaking Cherokee, I have captured EVP, where then they tried to say one of our words for us. And we had somebody saying peace, and you could hear them trying to say peace, like trying to say a word.
Oh, that's so neat. So
it was cool. Yeah.
Well, it looks like we're running out of time. Where can everybody on Zoom, where can everybody find you, Andy?
Sure. You can find us just about anywhere. We have TikTok is Mountain Mama IMB. That's the same handle for all of our social media. And then we also have a group on Facebook called Haints and Hollers. So if anybody wants to actually share some of their paranormal stories, you can do that. We have our business page, Mountain Mama Investigations, on Facebook. And we have a website now as well for fundraising efforts, where we sell metaphysical products, offer spiritual services, and that's mountainmamaimv.com. And we are a registered nonprofit. That means 100% of anything that you purchase from us goes into that registered nonprofit. We're always looking for donors and support so we can keep doing what we're doing.
Absolutely. And you also have a podcast, right?
I do. We will be getting back into that soon. I think our one of our team members is going to help out, maybe take over some of that portion for the next season of it. But now that we are out of fundraising season, that's when we'll start getting some more content out.
Cool. And it's called What's That Haint, right?
Yep. What's That Haint?
And that's
H-A-I-N-T. Yeah.
Yep. That's right.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for being on, and thank you for giving us a very cool experience at the Opera House. I had a great time.
Yes. It was so fun.
It was
fun. I'd do it again. Next time on a Saturday, though, so I could nap beforehand.
Yeah.
And then be like a productive member.
Yeah. Yes. I would definitely do it again. Maybe, you know, next year or.
Let's do it. Yeah.
Yeah, let's do it. And you all said, hey, we can go do spoopy stuff anytime. We don't have to be just mm-hmm. Halloween.
Oh, I'm dragging Steven along.
Next time I'll drag Chris around.
Especially if it's on a Saturday.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And our house spoopy season is every season. So.
Love it.
It's the best.
So, well, thanks again for being on. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, topic suggestions, corrections, hit us up, bubblesbrunchcast@gmail.com. Make sure to like, subscribe, and follow us at Bubbles Brunchcast on Insta and TikTok. And we'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Well, that was the last call for this episode of the Bubbles Brunchcast. Please subscribe and tune in next time. We will be serving it up all over again. Enjoy your week.